Mark, not long ago, I was surprised to find out that you have just completed writing a novel called The Best People. And the reason I was surprised by that is that I've known you as a guy whose career has been in the legal profession, now going on, what, over 50 years?
I've been doing the work for more than 50 years, yes.
And I presume you enjoyed it, or I guess you wouldn't have done it that long.
Yes, I had a passion for what I was doing and the clients I was doing it for, and I still do to some extent, but I've found there are other things that I've left on the table that I want to get to.
And what things would those be?
Well, spending more time with family and finishing this book. And then now that it's finished, making sure people know about it so that they'll might read it.
Well, let's back up a second. Suddenly you're talking about a book. What gave you the urge to do a book?
I think I always wanted to be a writer since I was about 16. This particular book, I got an idea 23 years ago when I sat down and did a first draft and then didn't touch it for about 8 years and then touched it and then really got in earnest on it in 2008. So it took me about 10 years to write this book.
Wow.
But the last three or four, I wasn't practicing law nearly to the same intensity that I had. So I had time to work on it.
So the book deals with your experience in the legal profession, right?
Yes, yes. It deals with Houston and practicing law. It's two things that I know something about anyway.
Well, you're a lifetime Houstonian, so I would guess so.
So are you going to have to go into hiding now once it's published? I mean, do you have any secrets you have revealed?
It's fiction, so all of it's invented, so I don't have anything I have to worry about.
Are you sure? Am I going to recognize myself in this book, even though the name has been changed to protect the not-so-innocent?
No, there are only three recognizable characters. One of them has passed away, and I only said nice things about her. One of them is an Italian restaurant owner who's a dear friend of mine, Tony Vallone, but he has a different name in the book, Luigi Gante. And then there's a Jewish tax lawyer, because I gave myself a cameo role. But they're very small. All the major characters are invented, totally.
You know, two different kinds of writing are involved with depositions in your legal work. And creative writing, was that kind of tough to switch gears?
Well, yes, because in my legal writing, I never did any intentional fiction. And so, there was a switch gears, but even the kind of law that I practiced required creativity. So, yes, it was a switch, and I knew the switch.
So tell me, we have talked to some other writers before. Do you have a sacred space that you have to go to when you're writing, or do you do it in front of a TV set and a TV dinner?
I've done it in lots of different places. I think if I finished the second book, I would be a lot more disciplined.
How so?
Well, I would set a special time every day, and whether I was inspired or not, I would just write it. I would just write for those 2 hours.
Well, what was your regimen for this book then?
For the longest time, I had no regimen, and then I took off 2 months one summer and a month another summer, and then I just started working every day. I had editors, and later on I had readers. I started taking a few classes. I wish I'd done all of that before, but I would say the last 4 years before I finished the book, I worked on it pretty much like I would if it was a job.
So how did you connect with a publisher and an editor? How did that work?
Okay, well, the editors, I got recommendations, and some were good, and some were not so good. And some were expensive and worth it, and some were expensive and not worth it, and some were very reasonable and totally worth it. In connection with a publisher, a couple of my friends, Andrea White and Lois Stark, had used Greenleaf Publishing, and I contacted them, and they seem, and still do, like a very good house to have published the book with.
So you had some pretty good connections to start with. I understand that you've been spending a lot of time promoting this book.
The book doesn't actually come out until October the 8th, but my first reading signing is in Dallas on the 15th at Interabang. And then on the 17th, Brazos Bookstore. And then there's just a whole slew of them. There's three more in Houston and San Antonio, Fort Worth, Austin, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and New York, and Asheville, North Carolina.
Wow. How did you get all these promotional gigs?
Okay, the publicist got me the bookstores. I only selected cities where I knew enough people that I could send email invitations so that somebody would show up, because notwithstanding my giant ego, I realized that I am a first-time author who no one's ever heard of. And so unless somehow they've heard of me, they're not going to show up at a reading.
Okay.
So do you think that from now on you're going to try to balance legal work with writing, or is one of them going to win out?
Oh, I think I'll spend more time writing than practicing law, but I'm not going to give up entirely practicing law. There's certain kinds of cases that I will take if I like the person or company that brings it to me. But the writing part is as much of a jealous mistress as the law is. And I think at this point in my life, if it's a choice, the writing will win.
Before we go any further, Mark, let's talk about the book itself. How did you come up with this title, The Best People?
The title came to me as I was writing the first draft. But The Best People is sort of ironic because everybody in this book are not necessarily the best people. The subtitle, a tale of trials and errors. Frankly, the publisher suggested it because just about 2 months ago, a book came out about Trump's appointees, and it's called The Best People. So there may be some irony in that title, too.
Well, you could change it to the Better People. Maybe that would get you some notoriety. So if you had to come up with a description of your book in a very short sentence, is it a mystery? Is it a detective? Is it?
I would describe it as a social satire and legal drama. Try to imagine a supersized, red-haired My Cousin Vinny meets the Bonfire of the Vanities in Houston.
So supposing I were to buy this book and I live in, Keokuk, Iowa, would I be able to understand what's going on? Would I have enough general context?
Totally.
So I wouldn't need to know the ins and outs of Houston or politics or...
I think I try to do it for, like, maybe if a Martian looked at it, they could understand it too. So, but it will inform whoever the reader is, whether he's from Keokuk or the Bronx, you know, it will inform them about the rhythm of this city and how it's a true meritocracy and how anybody who works hard can really make it here.
Mark, in the grand scheme of your life, would you say that deciding to write a novel, would you say this was something that you had to do and you were just waiting for the opportunity?
That's interesting. I've sort of asked myself that question before. I had to write a book, okay? That was just something that I had to do. What I didn't know I had to do was, once you've written a book, there's so much more. It's just the beginning, you know. After all, the editors and getting a publisher, and I feel like I'm a cottage industry. I've got a publicist and a social media consultant and an email consultant, a virtual book tour consultant, all kinds. I mean, you have no idea. But here's the deal. I wrote this book. It took me a long time to write it. Who knows if I'll ever write another book, and maybe it'll make it and maybe it won't, but I don't want to have to wonder, did I leave anything on the table that could have made it do better? So I just went all out.
We like to end our interviews, Mark, with insights from the person we're interviewing about how to stay vital and engage with life as you get into your 70s, as we all are.
Beginning in 2015, I just sort of changed the way I lived. I had no more responsibilities. My children were grown and responsible for themselves and their children. I went of counsel to the law firm so I could come and go as I pleased without having to account for a certain number of hours. And I started going wherever my green light told me the intersection might be interesting. And I've just sort of done things on impulse. I live in the now, because now is frankly all we have, especially at our age. And the other thing that was even more liberating than that was that, and this is harder, I accepted the consequences of all the choices that I've made in life. And I go forward. I'm informed by the past, but I don't dwell on it. I know there's a future, but right now, this is what I have, and I'm trying to enjoy it as much as I can.
And I presume you enjoyed it, or I guess you wouldn't have done it that long.